Just hours remain for the public to comment on a proposed change to the federal roadless rule. The protections of that rule, notice the word roadless, would no longer include Alaska's Tongass National Forest if a federal proposal supported by the state of Alaska goes through. If you're thinking Alaska, that's so far away, who cares? Well, lots of people do. Let's get a sense of the importance of the Tongass National Forest and the resistance to the rule change. Jim Furnish is a former deputy chief of the U.S. Forest Service. He was once the supervisor of the Siuslaw National Forest in Oregon, and he joins us by phone to talk about the Tongass and the roadless rule. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Jeffrey. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, good to have you back here again. So, roadless area conservation rule dates back to the Bill Clinton days. I mean, is it any more complicated than just protecting areas that don't have roads?
It's very simple, very straightforward. This goes back to the year 2001 when I had left the Siuslaw National Forest to become deputy chief on the Forest Service. And then we created this roadless conservation rule while I was there working with Chief Mike Dombeck, and finished that in 2001, just at the end of the Clinton presidency. It was litigated over and over and over again, including in Alaska, finally vindicated in the courts. And so it's the law of the land. What prompted this latest thing is that there is a provision for statewide petitions. So those went through Colorado and Idaho. Now Alaska is the third state to pursue a petition. The difference here is that Colorado and Idaho both nibbled around the edges. Alaska is petitioning the Forest Service to drop roadless protections in total for 9 million acres on the Tongass National Forest. It's a huge, in my mind, mistake. I was just listening to the radio and the Rolling Stones classic, Painted Black, came on, and my job today is to paint this black. I think it's just a woeful proposal.
Now, when we talk about the original roadless rule itself, though, you mentioned that it came late in the Clinton administration. I mean, really his last days in office, not quite an Antiquities Act thing, but similar in that approach to it. And it's been under attack basically since he first put it in place.
Yeah, although it was much lauded by the environmental community, it'd be worth revisiting the issue. The context was that roadless areas had plagued the Forest Service for at least 20 years. The agency had been beaten up in court over and over again, and we felt it was finally time to try and resolve the crisis. So we got busy working with the White House in crafting a rule that simply did two things. It precluded any further commercial timber harvest in roadless areas and associated road construction. So basically stop logging, stop road building, and 58 million acres of national forest lands around the United States. That's 2% of the United States. That would, in aggregate, be about the size of Wyoming.
Now, it seems like the issue with roadless areas, having covered this for the better part of 40 years, is that they were never designated wilderness, but they also never got roads.
True, but they were the place that the Forest Service continued to encroach on when they needed timber. So because they were those forests that were, quote, over the hill, when the Forest Service needed more timber, and this was the rub against timber cutting versus these roadless values, is basically natural forest areas. And, you know, it was just important to try and hammer that issue out on the anvil of, you know, public comment and work through a final proposal. And I was very proud to be part of that effort. And I think we really succeeded in finding an enduring and durable solution to the roadless controversy. However, here it is almost 20 years later, and we're back at it in Alaska.
Jim Furnish is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, former deputy chief of the U.S. Forest Service, talking about the proposal to withdraw the roadless rule from the Tongass National Forest in Alaska, which would free up 9 million acres and remove a roadless area protection. The comment period closes at midnight Alaska time tonight. You can talk to Jim Furnish now at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned kind of painting around the edges in Idaho and Colorado, but has the roadless rule itself remained more or less intact since it was implemented?
Yes, it has. What's kind of sad here in Alaska is that, you know, Alaska just went through a planning process on the Tongass National Forest a couple of years ago and basically set out the parameters for where logging can continue, where it can't. And so they have adequate timber base right now, you know, to pursue the little bit of logging that remains on the Tongass. That industry sector has shrunk to the point where now there's only about 150 to 200 people involved in timber harvest in Southeast Alaska, as compared to a salmon industry that is about a $2 billion industry. The tourism industry, 1.5 million people visit Southeast Alaska on tour boats annually. It has become a hugely important factor because of the enormous amounts of carbon that this temperate rainforest sequesters. It's become very important in the climate change debate. So you have all those against this little nagging issue of trying to chip away at the issue of clear-cut logging of old growth in Southeast Alaska. And this has been a losing proposition. You know, taxpayers for common sense have studied this. The Forest Service has lost about $600 million over the last 20 years pursuing timber harvest in Alaska. It just seems to make no sense environmentally, makes no sense economically. And yet, you know, I will say this, the Forest Service must consider the petition, but it does not have to accept it. So my view would be the Forest Service needs to receive the petition from the governor, study it and say, Governor, thanks, but no thanks. We're just going to stick with what we've got. Keep half the Tongass in roadless, and you can get your timber elsewhere.
So let's get draw back just a little bit here and get folks an idea of what the Tongass National Forest is all about. It is in Southeast Alaska, centered around Juneau or nearby.
Yeah, It pretty much runs all the way from British Columbia, that what we call the thumb, you know, Southeast Alaska, the island archipelago. But it is huge. The Tongass National Forest is 17 million acres, half in roadless, quite a bit of wilderness, that type of thing. That's the size of West Virginia. So that one national forest really is the crown jewel of, you know, the national forest system. And superlatives simply don't provide, you know, an adequate explanation of what an incredibly wondrous national forest it is in every way. You know, salmon, killer whales, humpbacks, grizzly bears, wolf, Sitka deer, and as we've noted, you know, incredible old growth rainforest. And it's had a tough history, you know, for ever since Alaska became a state, the Forest Service has subsidized the timber industry, and it went through a long period of very active logging up there, and, you know, really affected a lot of land that's now recovering. But a lot of the land remained, and so the roadless question on the Alaska, the forest there was resolved in, let's protect the best, let's protect the rest of what we have. They've got plenty of land elsewhere that they can pursue logging, but we need to protect the best.
So in the 9 million acres that are protected by the roadless rule at this moment, have they ever been logged?
No. Mm-hmm. Or roaded.
No roads, yeah.
Pristine forest.
Uh-huh. Okay, I want to make sure they didn't get them out some other way. I just want to be clear on the terminology here. Jim Furnish, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, former deputy chief of the U.S. Forest Service, speaking against the proposed rescission of the roadless rule protecting 9 million acres of Tongass National Forest in Alaska. Conversation you are welcome to join on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. By phone, email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So the actual process we're talking about here was initiated by the state government in Alaska?
Yeah. There was a provision that was put forward. I considered an end run, but there was a provision put forward by the Bush administration because they got beat in court. They then said, well, but we're going to allow states to petition for a statewide roadless regulation. And that's what Idaho and Colorado did. But they, as I said, they nibbled around the edges. They left the basic structure of the roadless protections intact, made a few changes here and there, but this is a wholesale assault. But I mean, to give people some idea of the acreage involved here, if you were to take all the national forests in the Cascades from Washington to California, the Mount Hood, Willamette, Umpqua, Rogue National Forest, that would equate to about 9 million acres. So if you think of that whole spine of national forests running down the Cascades from Washington to California, that would equate to about 9 million acres of this unbelievably beautiful, profoundly resource-rich archipelago in the rainforest of Alaska, and that's what's at stake here.
We have been briefed on the Tongass and its value before by Dominic Della Sala from the Geos Institute, who's very high on the Tongass and has spent a lot of time there. I noticed his name got mentioned in some of the media coverage in Alaska, which points out, too, that all three members of the Alaska congressional delegation, that's both senators and the one representative, favor the change. In fact, Representative Don Young said at a hearing last month, and I'm quoting here, "This is about communications. This is about other development in the area if necessary. This is about mining, yes. This is about even roads, communications, connections to one another. It's about power, clean power." That ends the quote. He doesn't think it's primarily about logging. You're coming from a different place, though.
Totally. I think that's a total red herring. I was in a hearing. I testified in front of Don Young. This issue came up. I debunked that. I will say this, that we were very mindful of, you can't just go in and lay down a blanket rule. So we provided for certain exemptions. In the last 15 years, Alaska has asked for 58 exemptions from the roadless preclusions on the Tongass National Forest. Every one of them has been granted, which relates to things like communication, clean energy, roads for mining, that kind of thing. Alaska asked for 58 exemptions. They got every single one. So I would ask, if they get an exemption every time they ask for it and it's needed, then why do they need to rub out the protections on 9 million acres? It just defies logic, and it's just completely unreasonable.
So talk about those 58 exemptions then, Jim, because what kinds of things were they asking for to be able to put specific projects in specific parts of the roadless areas?
For example, let's say clean energy. You know, Southeast Alaska is kind of unique. Being an island archipelago, they don't have a road structure. A lot of people have to get places they go by boat. Power is difficult, so some communities, for instance, have large diesel engines that they require to provide electricity to their community. So if they want to string, a power line from this community to that community or whatever, they might need to go through a roadless area. So as they encounter those kinds of infrastructure difficulties, they've requested exemptions, and they've been granted every single time for the last 15 years. So I would say, given that record, you can't say you need to remove protections on 9 million acres to provide for something that's already been done every single time without fail. But to me, that just doesn't pass the smell test.
Now, as is often the case, go ahead.
That if he wants.
Go ahead,
Don Young. Can say that if he wants. Yeah, but Lisa Murkowski is the senator from Ketchikan, and her father preceding her, Frank Murkowski, have been a reliable advocate of logging in Southeast Alaska. And that's what this is really about, trying to sustain a small pocket industry in Southeast Alaska that's just a shadow of its former self. And Dominic and I serve on the board of Geos Institute there in Ashland with Dominic, and he and I have studied this extensively. The amount of land that they have available outside the roadless areas to sustain their ongoing timber industry, as small as it is more than adequate. They don't need to remove these protections on the roadless lands in Southeast just to keep the timber industry going. It's just completely unnecessary.
But the discussion then turns back to the place that it usually gets in the West. It's what good is it to have the forest there if it's not bringing in money?
Well, and of course, this is why I bring up the great losses. The timber program in Southeast Alaska has operated at a huge loss for decades. They just can't make it without subsidies. And so people like Lisa Murkowski and Don Young have been very quick to subsidize timber industry in Southeast Alaska for as long as he's been in the House of Representatives. And, you know, that's not my job to quibble over how they spend public money. They have chosen to subsidize the timber industry. But this is just a completely unnecessary giveaway. The timber program in Southeast Alaska loses money. It loses money big time.
And what about, you mentioned tourism. Are you saying that the Tongass National Forest intact is much more valuable to Southeast Alaska than anything like an extraction industry like logging?
Yeah, because people go there for the wildlife and the scenery. And so when you have 1.5 million tour boats, 1.5 million tourists, tour boats visiting Southeast Alaska every year, dropping hundreds of millions of dollars into the local economy, they don't come there to see clear-cut old growth. They come to see the beauty and the majesty and the grandeur of that landscape and all the wildlife and the waterfalls and all that kind of thing. And it is there, but the continued clear-cutting there is objectionable and offensive. All the studies have shown that. And then we haven't even talked about the fisheries industry.
Yeah, let's go there, because as salmon habitat, I imagine the Tongass is quite important.
Oh, yeah, it's a $2 billion a year industry. And the tribes, the tourism industry, the fishing industry, the tribes are all solidly opposed to this. They're just screaming and yelling, don't do this. It makes no sense. You're coming directly in opposition to what makes Southeast Alaska's economy tick these days.
So you mentioned testifying at a hearing in front of Don Young. So you've obviously been paying attention to the input process. I mean, you just mentioned tribes and other entities in Alaska that are opposed. I mean, do you get a sense for what the feeling is within Alaska overall?
Well, of course, you know, these tribes take the position that they have, this is their homeland. It has been for thousands and thousands of years. They have a very strong cultural attachment to the land. It's a real meat and potatoes issue for them because they subsist off the land for a lot of fish and game, puts food on their table. They basically live off the land. And so, you know, when you try to do something that threatens the fishing or the hunting, they get very upset, and they have argued that, you know, the Forest Service says we're going to sit down and talk with the tribes, and so they show up, but they said they don't pay any attention to us. At the end of the meeting, it's like they feel like they've been patted on the head and gently excused and said, you know, your values, your interests make no difference to us. We're going to go ahead with this proposal. And the tribes are really, really angry about this. They're all fully in opposition to it. And so, you know, if the Forest Service proceeds with this, it's headed for court. And they've lost before, and I predict they're going to lose again. There just seems to be a more sane way forward than to propose to remove all the protections on these roadless areas.
We will see what happens now that the comment period is about to close. It closes at midnight tonight. Yeah, there's a link at our website at midnight Alaska time. There is a link at our website at jeffexchange.org to let people through to the place where you can comment. Jim Furnish is former deputy chief of the U.S. Forest Service, definitely in support of keeping the roadless rule intact in Alaska's Tongass National Forest. Thank you so much, Jim.